Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to another episode of Funk Radio. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Peter.
Are you feeling especially moist today, Peter?
What is it with you calling me moist?
I don't know. I seriously can't get that out of my head, but from now on, you're just moist Peter. Okay. Mostly because I have a weird... I like the word moist. It's fun to say.
It makes me uncomfortable.
And that's how I got labeled as a sex offender. Terrible.
So, Kyle, this isn't just any episode of the show. This is an episode celebrating 4 years of Funk Radio.
Yay!
As a podcast, it is. We've discussed at length how this was a college radio show for, I think, 2 years prior to the podcast. So roughly, and I think that started roughly around the same time of year. So
we've been funking for 6 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Good Lord. I'm old.
Oh, boy. So, listeners, I guess we figured we would just spend an episode shooting the shit as always, but just recapping things we've learned along the way over the past 4 years about making a podcast and whatnot.
Yeah, trials and tribulations and how we basically did everything we could to actively not attract more listeners.
And it worked.
Yeah.
To this day, no one listens.
We're just speaking out into the space. You know, it'd be really funny because I assume if people play this or whatever on the internet, those sound waves travel off into space. So it would be really hilarious if, like, thousands of years from now, some alien being comes down and, like, they found Earth because of Funk Radio. And that's all they listen to. And then they destroy Earth because of it.
That's fair.
They're like, God damn it, we finally found where these assholes live, like thousands of years from now, and we're dead.
You know what I didn't do in preparation for this that I completely forgot to do?
Put on pants?
That too. No, I was going to listen to our very first episode again to hear how far we've come, but...
Wasn't our first episode about the concert we went to that summer? Or something?
It was kind of a mix of things. It was about some summer concerts we went to. There was some new music that came out by old artists, I think, and also just like music we had discovered during that summer. It's probably one of our least like structured episodes we've ever done.
Because we didn't know what a structure was yet.
Yeah. Cause I mean almost every episode we've had since then has been like a very specific topic. Okay, we're going to talk about songs that address this thing or whatever. Anyway, so I think to start off our discussion of reasons no one listens to us, I think right off the bat, the fact that we focus on such a niche music genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that really kills us. Although to me, I mean, and I think from the very beginning, you know, the idea behind the podcast is that no one really listens to this type of music. But then our idea is like, well, we do listen to it. So our goal is to, you know, introduce people to this type of music and educate them about the varied history behind it, which is a really big, interesting part of it. And just from like a general perspective of podcasting, I have the strong belief that you should only make a podcast if you have like a very specific idea in mind about what you're going to do. Cause there's way too many podcasts out there that like, oh, we're just going to talk about movies cause we like movies.
Or we're just going to talk about anything and everything because we think we're interesting, I guess. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because when we were at Chapman Radio, that was kind of a microcosm for podcasts in general. There were so many podcasts, or I should say internet radio stations at Chapman that were just the same thing with different people. And
yeah, a lot of pop music, a lot of indie music,
a lot of like random talk shows where it's just like, hey, we're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about because we're popular people. Yeah. I mean, the internet as a whole and podcasting as a whole is kind of the same way. People gravitate towards what's popular and they think, oh, well, if I talk about what's popular, then that will increase my popularity. But when you're in a sea of other people doing the same thing, it doesn't help you stand out.
That is true, although only to a point. I think part of the catch-22 of our idea of what makes like a solid podcast idea is also kind of what has killed us a bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a podcast, like I was saying a minute ago, like, oh, a podcast that talks about movies. Well, a podcast that talks about movies is probably going to cover like popular movies that are coming out in recent movies. Mm-hmm. So for example, they would cover a lot of like Star Wars and stuff when that comes out. And around the time that Star Wars comes out, a shitload of people are gonna be looking for a podcast that talks about that movie, not about a podcast like ours. So yeah, it does lack a lot of originality when you have a podcast like that, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get any listeners. In fact, it's kind of the opposite.
To that point, if I'm correct, Peter, I think one of our most listened to episodes was the one where we covered songs about Breaking Bad, and it was right during their final season. And we kind of assumed, well, okay, well, obviously we got a lot of hits on that because it's a popular show. It's the final season. Yeah. People searching Breaking Bad popped into our podcast. So,
yeah, and of course, that's a good point. We have done that, too. I mean, yeah, we're not completely flawless of, you know, trying to hook on to things that are popular at a given time, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
But yeah, it's just one of those things. Even when we first came up with this idea at Chapman, it was a niche music genre that we just appreciated amongst ourselves. So really, from its outset, I think the podcast was more for just a way, was a way for us to kind of communicate with each other and share our interests more than like being like, let's teach everyone about how awesome funk is. Cause yeah. I think we knew from the outset, even with the Chapman show, that like, okay, we're probably not going to get a lot of listeners, but who cares? It's fun.
Yeah. And I think for all the times in the past 4 years that we've wondered to ourselves with this podcast, should we just stop doing this because we're getting basically no interaction with anyone who listens? And, you know, time and time again, I think the thing we've come back to is that, well, we enjoy doing it. So really at its core, that's why this podcast does still exist, is because, you know, people may not care, but we have fun doing it. So why not? It's a fun mm-hmm. hobby.
Yeah.
And like you said, it is still kind of, a lot of it is like a conversation between you and I about discovering music and that kind of thing.
Very true. And yeah, we've grown in the 4 years to talking about somewhat more topical things, you know, or we just burst into random rants about topical things. Speaking of which, Peter, I don't know if you heard the controversy with YouTube. That's one thing we can say as a podcast, we never gave into advertising. Even though half the time we talk about stuff and then just tell advertisers to give us money.
Yeah, this is ignoring all the times where we spent, you know, 20 minutes talking about Pop-Tarts or Wendy's or Oreos, stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mostly just terrible food.
Speaking of Oreos, oh, I can cover a new topic. I tried the Swedish fish Oreos.
Oh, Jesus, that's a thing?
Have you heard about those?
No.
Dude, there's a new flavor of Oreo that with the frosting in the middle is red and it tastes like Swedish fish. And it's fucking awful. My coworker brought some in because Oreos are actually vegan. Fun fact. And which kind of says a lot, because frosting you'd think would be a dairy product, but their frosting is not. Anyways. So yeah, he brought them in, I think mostly because he was trying to pawn them off on us because he didn't want to finish them. So I tried a handful. And it's not so awful that it's like, oh my God, I want to spit these out. It's just a really weird pairing. It's like literally just shoving Oreos and gummies in your mouth at the same time. Which both are good, but not together. So
that makes me sad.
Yeah, I know, right? So that was my Oreo review of the day. But anyways, back to the other rant at hand. There's a bit of controversy going on right now with YouTube, where I know for a while we did actually attempt to host our podcasts. Not that we actually made any money off them being on there. And apparently they have a new sort of advertising guideline where they take ads off of any videos with content that they deem inappropriate, whether that be sensitive discussions about sensitive topics, swearing, violence, what have you, and basically by removing ads from those videos, they, I guess what you would call demonetize them, so the uploader of that video can't make money off that video because there's no ads. So a lot of really big YouTubers are freaking the fuck out because
suddenly they can't make hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They can't make videos on certain topics because those topics might be adverse to advertisers, and they're like, oh great, now my source of income is possibly gone. The problem with
So I think I understand. So for example, like fucking Travelocity doesn't want to be associated with, I don't even know, conspiracy theorists about terrorism.
Yeah. And I think the problem people are having is, although from a corporate or capitalist standpoint, it makes sense. Advertisers don't want to be associated with certain topics. But the language of their new rules is very vague. And that's, I think, what a lot of YouTubers are freaking out about, is because, through liberal interpretation, you could just be like, oh, a video that has swearing, has a curse word in it, they could just demonetize it and say, okay, we don't know how to be associated with someone who has a curse word in their video or someone who talks about sensitive topics. For instance, one of the big YouTubers I watch, Boogie2988, is like this chubby guy who talks about video games and comics and movies and stuff. I watched him since I was probably a freshman in college. And he often, because he's morbidly obese, he talks about the problems of being obese. He talks about, he has, depressing suicidal thoughts sometimes from being obese and from not being able to get a handle on it. And he very candidly talks about that in some of his videos. And he's basically, he went on the other day and was like, some of these videos that I've put up here that talk about suicide have been demonetized. And he's like, that's kind of messed up. A lot of my videos talk about sensitive topics because I feel it's something I need to share with people, because maybe, maybe me talking about it can help somebody else, kind of thing. And he's like, if I can't make money off over half the videos I post, that's taking food out of my mouth, kind of. I mean, he's one of the biggest guys on YouTube, probably in the top 50, I would say, as far as subscribers, and he doesn't make like a crap load of money. He's not rolling in dough. He makes probably 70,000 a year, maybe. So, I mean, that's just one example, of course. But I think the problem a lot of YouTubers are having, and it lends itself to the internet as a whole, with advertising becoming obviously so prevalent on the internet, the language is vague enough that it can be overly misinterpreted to censor people just talking about something that someone may find offensive. Mm-hmm. And then you get into that whole social justice warrior, oh, I'm offended, therefore I'm going to flag your video and have advertisers take their stuff away from it or whatever. That's just something to do with YouTube, but obviously YouTube is like the biggest vidcast, I guess, market out there right now, and podcasts too a little bit, but more video casting, or what do they call it, vlogging? Yeah. Is that a thing? Is that a word?
So to tie that in, I know you've mentioned it once. Mm-hmm. We did kind of do a pilot project where we posted our episodes to YouTube. For, I don't know, it was probably a few months we did it. And I think they're still up there for maybe like 10 or 20 episodes. But that never, because we figured that if people like that kind of music, or they would search for certain topics, that our podcast would come up, because YouTube is super popular, obviously. So we figured, well, why not just try to get more exposure there? But that didn't really work.
Yeah.
I don't remember whether we tried monetizing them or not.
The thing with monetization on YouTube, I think you have to get over a certain views before it even becomes eligible.
You have to get over
like 10,000 views or something, or 5,000 views. And then, like, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
Because from what I remember, I may be wrong because I know some of the YouTubers talked about it. For every like 10,000 views you get like $100 or something.
Oh.
So someone who gets a million views can basically make $1,000 off a video. Maybe it's for every 100,000 views. You get $100 or something, for basically like $1 per thousand.
Mm. Well, and if you're a super popular YouTuber, then that's not a problem at all.
Yeah, true. True. Very true. But yeah, we were never going to get close to that. I mean, we're on SoundCloud, obviously. I think we have, what, like 200 or so subscribers on there?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to shift a little bit toward like different platforms that we've tried over the years.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I kind of jumped
around. No, that's fine. YouTube is somewhat...
So yeah, YouTube was definitely one of them. iTunes was one of them.
Oh, I forgot about... Yeah, we were on iTunes for a long time until something with our RSS file that whatever it is they use to sync it with iTunes somehow got broken, and we tried multiple times to get like to fix it and send it back to them, and they didn't approve it, so we were off. And then once we got like 2 or 3 years later, when we started using SoundCloud Pro and uploading everything there, that also gives you an RSS feed that you can send to iTunes, so we actually were back onto it for a while, I think, through that. But since we've stopped using SoundCloud Pro within the last couple of months, I don't know if that's still a thing. I don't think it is.
It doesn't give you that if you're just like a regular SoundCloud.
Yeah. Like, you got to pay for it.
But yeah, that goes back to the thing. I think we've tried almost every major form of YouTube, of podcast hosting at one point or another, hoping to reach out to more fans, I guess.
We're trying Mixcloud now too.
Yeah.
Which at least doesn't limit how much you can upload, because that's a big thing with us, is that we want to be able to upload all of our episodes so that people can get to them, because otherwise that's kind of dumb. But hosting isn't free, obviously. Or if you want, you know, wanted to buy a domain or something and upload them all there, that's great. But how are people going to know how to get to your website? So you kind of have to put your podcast in places where people are actually going to find them, which is why SoundCloud was great, because there are a lot of podcasts up there. But to be able to put up all your episodes, more than like say 3 at a time, you got to pay $15 a month for the unlimited space, and we stopped paying that because that's a lot of money after a while. So at the beginning, I will say, like the initial like 30 days that I piloted that to see what would happen, we got like 800 listens, which is like the most we've ever gotten in any period of time. But ever since then, it very slowly, over the year after that, it slowly decreased until we were only getting maybe 15, 20 plays an episode. And that's not really worth paying for. So
that's right. Yeah, that's not worth putting out money. I mean, yeah, exactly. If we were getting 800 or so listeners an episode, then heck yeah, that's worth the money. But, you know, 15 listeners per episode, we're paying $15 a month. That's like $1 a listener.
Well, if you only do...
I'm sorry, fans.
We do more than one episode a month, but yeah, you have the right idea.
Sorry, listeners, we love you, but you're not worth $1 a month. I'm trying to think if we used any other mediums. I know we talked about Spotify, but that never really took off either.
Well, actually, that's a good lead-in, because I think... Well, oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, a lot of different things. So one more thing I was going to complain about with SoundCloud that they just did within like the last week. They took away the groups feature. And if you're not familiar with that, basically what that is that you can subscribe to different groups on SoundCloud, so that like you'll have like a podcast group and everyone just dumps their podcasts in there. So if you want to go listen to a podcast, you just go into that group and find something to listen to. And I had subscribed us to like, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 different groups. And I would just upload them there every week, because that's a really good way to get exposure for your stuff. Because if people aren't following you, how else are they going to find your stuff?
True.
Unless it's in a group or something. But then they just take that feature away. So, like, a lot of people are mad because that's, like, one of the best ways for people to find your stuff. Yeah. So, it's another reason I'm glad we're not paying for that anymore.
What are they going to turn it into, like, a hashtag thing, like Twitter? Hashtag Funk Radio?
I don't know. But, yeah, Spotify, you told me a while back, maybe a year or two ago, that they were adding, like, a podcast function of some kind.
I don't know if they ever did.
I don't know whether they did. a concern I had with that, but also with other, I guess, podcast networks that are online that we, you know, potentially could try to join, is that because we play clips of copyrighted songs, which generally we use the argument of fair use for educational purposes, which is, at the end of the day, that's what it is in this show. But I think a lot of platforms wouldn't look kindly upon that. And it's kind of an essential part of our show. So I think that kind of, that's another kind of limiting factor for this particular show in terms of like getting exposure.
Very true. It says that Spotify actually does have podcasts now. It says that somewhere it's in one of the genres under browse, but I'm not seeing it yet. Anyways, but yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. Hosting a podcast on a site that streams music, where the podcast then streams music, even if that music is 10 or 15 second clips, you know, may cause some, you know, ruffled feathers, I guess.
Yeah.
So
now
that is not always the best.
I just remembered, because I was saying that playing the clips is more or less an essential part of our show. I forgot that there was a period, I think it might have been before we tried the YouTube thing, or maybe it was right after. It was around that same time, because we were trying a few different things, experimenting with how we can get more listens. I forgot that we did actually stop playing clips on the show for a while. We would just talk about the songs and say, well, go listen to it on our Spotify playlist, which we would make for every episode.
That's
so that people
right.
could listen to the full songs and everything. And people, you know, obviously you still can't do that, and we encourage you to go listen to the full songs in a legal manner. But I think it just doesn't play very well on a music podcast when you can't, when you talk extensively about a song and its history and the artist or whatever, and then just don't play anything and give the listeners no context for what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That really does not play well, and I think that's a good reason why we didn't do that for very long.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. We would post them up on like 8th Circuit or something, along with our I guess it would have been when we were just uploading it straight to 8th Circuit as like an RSS feed or something.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because listeners, I don't know whether you're listening to this from there or not, but currently our like home base host site is overmental.com. Before it was Overmental, it was 8cn.com. Before that, it was 8thcircuit.com. So our host site has kind of gone through many revisions as well in the past 4 years. I don't think that's really been a contributor one way or another in terms of our listens. In fact, I think because that site gets a fair number of visitors, it has helped us a bit, because we post them there every week whenever there's a new episode. But yes, that's when we would... Oh, that's right. And that reminds me, because during the same time of like the Spotify playlist and then the YouTube playlist, oh, we did that too. Because we would upload the audio to YouTube, and then we would put it in a playlist with all the songs that we talked about.
Yes, that's right.
We, at that same time, we were trying to get more listeners by like writing like a full-length article that was like a companion to that episode that would kind of cover it a little bit more briefly, like the stuff that we talked about, and the songs that we featured and things like that. That had basically zero effect on our engagement with listeners. So we stopped doing that because that was just adding a lot more work to our plate.
Yeah. As sad as it is, I think a lot of the reason we ended up, you know, going through all these different methods and eventually abandoning them is because the output didn't, or return on value didn't warrant the output that we made, you know, like the thing with the pot, with creating the playlist and on YouTube. It just ended up being easier to just splice them into our episodes, I guess.
Right. And I mean, if you're going to get, you know, 10 listeners by doing nothing and 10 listeners by doing a lot of work, you might as well just not do all the work.
Yes. That's the lesson for the children, is if no one listens to you, don't
put effort into it.
Don't do any work. Don't put effort into it. Go ahead. No, I was just saying, don't make something you enjoy into something you hate, because you put, you know, end up putting so much needless work into it that it becomes a chore and no longer becomes fun.
Yeah. And actually, I think this is a good transition into the next piece of this episode, which is, I think, if maybe we should try to give, we've kind of been doing this the entire time, but maybe give some helpful tips to people who may want to start their own podcasts. Because we've been doing this, like I said, for 4 years now, so we're veterans, it's by some definition of the word. So if you want a podcast that's going to have a fair amount of followers, I would say choose something that has a wide appeal, something that's going to, you know, a lot of people are going to find interesting. In doing that, I would recommend doing something that has wide appeal but isn't necessarily covered by 1,000 other podcasts.
Yeah. Or at least has an interesting spin on that topic.
True, yeah.
That's different from other people's.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said earlier, my belief is that you should hone in on something fairly specific for your show, just for sake of kind of having more focus and setting it apart from other shows. That does run the risk of not having too many listeners or not reaching a very wide audience. For example, because I said earlier, oh, you can, you know, have a podcast that's just about movies in general. I mean, when you think about movies, that's an extremely broad subject. And if I passed by a podcast that said, oh, we just talk about movies that we like, I wouldn't listen to it because that's not interesting to me. But on the other hand, if there was a podcast that was like, we specifically talk about film noir in like the 1930s, and our podcast only talks about those movies, I would probably listen to that because that would be really interesting. And it has a lot of focus and it's about a specific thing. Something you mentioned earlier is that there's podcasts out there that are just like, we just talk about whatever we want. And to me, I think there is some temptation to do that. And just for an idea to pop in your head and be like, oh, we're funny. We think we're funny. So we'll record ourselves talking. So other people think we're funny. But the problem with that is that one, no one else thinks you're funny. And two,
harsh life lesson there.
What appeal does that have? You know, how do you sell that?
Yeah, it's like you're just selling your personality, I guess.
And very few people can do that successfully.
Yeah, rather than your insight.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to sell your insight on something that you're actually interested in and care about, whatever that topic may be, than it is to try to sell yourself on your personality alone and talking about things that you don't appeal necessarily to you, or that, you know, appeal to you and everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think the personality definitely plays into it as well. I mean, obviously your topic has to be interesting, but you have to be interesting to listen to as well, or
whatever. Which we are not.
Yeah, but, you know. I think we've been covering our downfall fairly well.
It's like behind the podcast, where are they now? I'm behind a liquor store huffing glue.
I just had this image of you as like a 70-year-old man, like hanging out behind a 7-Eleven, being like, kids today, you don't know about the funk.
I used to have a podcast. People used to think I was cool.
Oh wait, no they didn't.
Huff's glue.
But yeah, I mean, like, something that we, I think we already mentioned this, but, you know, something that we've kind of come back to a lot of times with this podcast is that we don't do it because it's a popular subject or because we're fantastically interesting people. We just do this because we like doing it and we're passionate about the type of music that we talk about. So I would, if I had like one big recommendation for if you were going to make a podcast, don't make it specifically for the reason of doing something that would become popular. Do a podcast on something that you're passionate about and that you're really interested in, because at the end of the day, that's going to make for a much more interesting show than if you were to try to force it into something that was popular just to try to get listeners.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just a good life lesson in general, is don't do something or don't make an attempt towards something solely because you want success from it. Do it because you are passionate about it, and then success will come.
Hopefully. It didn't for us, but it might for you.
True. We've had our own trials and tribulations and stuff. I don't know, maybe we can find like a funk con or something and we can travel to that and get ourselves out there.
I still want to do a live episode someday.
That would be cool.
Where you and I do an episode, record it like live in front of other people. But that'll never happen.
In front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. That would be amazing, but it's never going to happen.
True.
I even thought recently that we could do like a live stream recording episode. And I almost thought about doing that for this one, but it's like, you know what? No one listens at their own convenience, let alone at a very specific time of day.
Yeah, that was actually always kind of one of our problems at the Chapman Radio site, is we got like shitty times. Yeah. And that was live. And we ended up with like shitty times that no one would listen, and we're just like, okay, whatever. I think towards the end we got better times. But yeah. It was very obvious they were biased towards certain subjects around the popular hours of listening, I guess.
Oh, you know, sorry, this is completely unrelated. You know, something else that we tried for a while to appeal to more people was having our 5-minute funk shorter episodes.
Oh, yeah. Those were fun.
Because I guess this ties into the convenience of listening to a podcast. Because it's hard. It can be hard to expect someone to sit down and listen to a 45-minute show, even if, you know, you're working or doing something while you're listening to it or driving the car, whatever. I think for people to take that step to actually download it and then listen to it wherever is more work than most people are willing to do. Mm-hmm. I guess the idea of the short 5-minute, well, they more realistic, they were like 10 minutes, but the idea behind that was, well, it's less of a commitment for you as a listener. You know, it's just a quick fun fact that you can listen to. I don't feel like that really made any noticeable difference in our listenership.
True.
So we stopped doing that because it's hard to discuss something that quickly.
For like 10 minutes. Yeah. Especially for how much we ramble.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's one of the fun things about our show is, although we do have a strict, it's not really strict, but we do have a niche, as you said, genre that we talk about, we don't pigeonhole ourselves too much into like only, oh, we always have to stay on topic, we always have to only talk about funk. We branch off into random stuff, so it does, although it is a niche thing, it does feel like more of a candid conversation because we just, you know, go off on random subject matter, which hopefully, you know, makes our personality seem somewhat more interesting to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, we've covered technology. We've covered a little bit of politics, not too much.
Oreos.
Oreos. Yeah.
Lots of food.
That's a topic of conversation.
True. Yeah. For a while I had like
music in general, musicals, movies, TV shows.
Very true.
Animation.
Concerts. Album reviews, which, you know, usually sort of tie into our topic. Cereal. I think we had a whole episode on cereal.
Yeah, we did.
That was fun. But yeah, no, I mean, the fact that despite having a niche topic, we can still come up with ideas, 166?
Five.
165 episodes later, you know, we're like Simpsons level of ideas at this point.
Not every episode idea is fantastic. I think we've had some that were kind of duds and some that were really interesting. Obviously, you know, you always got to have a bit of a mix. And to be fair, this one is basically just us complaining for 40 minutes that no one listens to us. So,
yeah.
I don't think there's, I'm trying to think if there's any more like tips or platforms.
Get a good microphone.
Or at least that's a good point. I think each of us has probably gone through like three different ones.
Yeah, we've slowly upgraded our microphone. So that's one thing that probably has gotten better over the 4 years is our sound quality.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you listen to the early ones, even in the first, I would say probably 75 or so.
Yeah,
we had pretty
crackly,
bad mics. Yeah, because I mean, I had my crappy desk mic and then my headset. I think after that, I jumped to this one. my better desk mic, but I know you've gone through at least as many, if not more.
Yeah, I had like a little lava mic that I would attach to myself. Then I had like those shitty little desktop mics that like you point at you, but they're like, they look like a little stick.
Yeah, that's the first one I had.
Then, trying to remember. Oh yeah, then I got a little tiny Samson one that was okay. It was small. It was like, I think it was meant to be clipped to like a laptop or something. Then I got an Audio-Technica one, which was decent, and now I've moved up to the Blue Yeti, like, fancy mic with pop filter. So it's semi-professional sounding, I would hope.
So that means you've gone through five?
Mm-hmm.
This is your fifth one? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too many mics. I still have the Audio-Technica one sitting next to me, I just don't have it plugged in.
You know what we should do a throwback episode to the beginning where we both use our original mics.
Oh God. And then you can have fun editing that horror.
Oh jeez. And I can go back to editing on Audacity, which was
was terrible. I guess you can speak more to that. How has the editing of the show evolved?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, because I've edited every single episode.
I'm sorry.
I feel sorry. No, it's okay.
I swear to God, every 6 months or so, I'm like, man, I feel bad. Peter edits all these. I really should help him out. And then I don't. And then I feel awful.
It's okay. So it's evolved. I would say it goes a lot faster now than it did a few years ago. I would say for probably the first, I don't know, 50 episodes or so, I edited on Audacity, which is what you still use to record.
Mm-hmm.
As recording software, it's fine. Even for basic editing, it works well too. But to get into more advanced editing for podcasts and stuff, you can use it, but there's a lot of features that are missing from it.
Mm-hmm.
So which makes it more difficult and time consuming. At some point, I guess when I started using Adobe Creative Cloud, I started using Adobe Audition, and I've been using that ever since, and that's it. Not only does it have a lot more like capabilities in terms of like noise reduction and stuff, but also just editing is a lot easier,
simpler.
I guess it's evolved in that way.
Would you say that Audition is better for the recording process itself as well, or is it more about the post recording process?
It's more about post production. I think it's the same either way.
Okay, because I use it
to record, but it doesn't. I don't think it makes a difference.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. I was like, should I start using Audition as Audacity?
Nah.
But yeah. I think exactly you're saying, Peter, because we've decided to kind of stick with this looser format. Where I swear before there was a point where, because we were trying to be so professional, like we were like you. You were like editing out all the ums and heavy breathing, and
that's true. I still take that stuff out when it's convenient, but I don't take like every single instance of it out.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I forgot about that. I think that was partly another reason why it was more time consuming originally. Is because I was trying to like be so meticulous about everything. But after a while, I think we kind of realized that those little imperfections are what make it sound more natural.
Exactly. It doesn't sound as scripted. Tie into that, even our preparation for episodes in general, before we would have these like long written out scripts of like, you know, the songs we're going to talk about, the subject matter. And we realized after a while that like by having it so meticulously written out, we ended up kind of basically just reading off these scripts, and it sounded, for lack of a better term, very scripted. So even on episodes that we do research for, we get down the basics, we get down the general facts we want to talk about of the songs, but we do it in a looser format that I think allows for more improvisation.
Yeah, and another benefit to that too, I think we realized over time, is that because we, like you said, we ramble a bit, so we have enough that we can say without needing it written down, that if we were to write down five pages of stuff and then add on elaboration on top of that, I mean, you got like an hour and a half episode, nobody wants to listen to that.
Yeah, after a while some of our episodes were getting pretty up there in time, like over an hour easily, because it's like, oh look, we're talking about 10 songs, each song we're talking about, we've written like a paragraph of shit.
that speaks as well to like the length of our episodes, I guess. Because I mentioned that we had done like 5-minute episodes for a while. Those were kind of sprinkled in among the regular length episodes. I think at the beginning, we were only doing maybe 20, 25 minutes for a long time.
But that was when we were doing like two a week, basically.
Well, we were doing like 2 or 3 a week.
Because we didn't have jobs.
Yeah. And then later, they slowly went up to like 30 and then like 40, 50, even 60 minutes sometimes. Nowadays, I think on average, they're 35 to 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we worry so much about the length while we're recording as much as we used to, maybe.
No, I don't think so.
But then they kind of naturally just kind of end up being that long.
Yeah.
Usually.
Truth. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's another good lesson for people who want to get into podcasting is, you know, don't worry about the length of your podcast, but at the same time, make sure that what you're talking about, you can talk about it succinctly enough that you don't lose people because it's like, oh, look, they've talked for an hour and a half. I'm bored now.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have a good tie-in with that. Every so often on this, I'll mention that I actually do work on another podcast called Go Your Own Way, which is basically me and two other people, we read through Choose Your Own Adventure stories on the show and then make decisions and whatnot. But there's been a few stories we read through. Actually, especially this happened multiple times, but fairly recently, it took us eight hour long episodes to get through the whole story.
Damn.
So it just kept going on forever. So I think that's kind of an extreme example of don't make your episodes 8 hours long. I mean, that's kind of a different case because we would stop like every week and say we would pick up next time. But there were one or two times I would say where we did do a long story all in one sitting and our recordings were literally like 3 hours long.
Jeez.
And as the editor, that was just a blast for me. But actually in post-production, we ended up splitting it into like 3 episodes or 4 just because like it's ridiculous to expect people to listen to a 3 hour long show.
Very true. Very true.
You know, I mean, that's like longer than Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. That's longer than one of the movies, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. I forgot about you have that other podcast, so you can kind of, I don't know, play both sides. Now, that podcast sounds interesting to me. Would you consider that as much of a niche subject, or is that a bit more broad?
I think that one, I think it's still a very specific concept. It's not broad, but I think it does have more of a, conceptually, I think it has more of a draw than this does, because I think a lot of people grew up with those like Choose Your Own Adventure books, or at least like they are familiar with the concept and they think that's fun. I think it's but on that one, we actually have a similar issue with that. Basically no one listens. A lot of it is marketing though, and just getting your podcast onto, you know, sites and platforms and putting it out there constantly and, you know, getting a lot of people to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot of time and resources to do that, which none of us really have.
Marketing yourself in general is just not easy because it requires you to kind of put on your salesman hat, which I don't think either of us are great at.
No.
And
we don't have time.
Yeah, I've tried posting our podcast to like subreddits on Reddit, podcasting Reddits, funk Reddits. We got like a handful of hits from that, but nothing substantial or long lasting.
Yeah.
So
there's a good tip for potential podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want it to become popular, you're going to need to put in a crap load of time and effort into trying to put it out there. And even if you do put in all that time and effort, you may not necessarily get a return on that.
True. And if you really want to be popular, instead of podcasting, just start a vlog where you play Minecraft and you can become you can become the next PewDiePie.
Basically, yeah.
So
that's a good point. I think that it seems, I don't know like for sure, I've never really followed them that closely, but it seems like podcasts had like an initial spike in like the early 2000s.
Because of iTunes.
I guess so, yeah. And then they kind of, you know, went down for a bit. And I think in the last few years, they've kind of become more popular again with the advent of other platforms like SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering now if they're kind of on the decline again.
I don't know if it's necessarily on the decline, but I think YouTube has definitely overshadowed podcasting for a while because people would rather watch people than just listen to them, I guess. And listening to a podcast requires you be doing something that, you know, that you're in a place where you just want to listen to something. You don't want to watch something. So, say you're working out or driving or whatever. And in that case, 95% of people would probably rather listen to music.
That's a good point. Even
than a podcast that talks about music.
Because I guess if you're watching something, it requires more of your attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Than a podcast does.
Like, I'm hard pressed to think that any of our listeners are like listening to us talk while they're like working out or something. Maybe while they're driving, but then they might fall asleep and like, you know, run off the road.
Hmm.
And that'd be sad. But yeah, I know you listen to a lot of podcasts, Peter, probably more than I do. Where and when do you see yourself listening to the most?
I don't listen to a lot. Especially now, I haven't listened to any in a while. There was a period where I was listening to probably 3 or 4 on a regular basis. So when do I listen to them? Maybe if I'm doing work at home, not like working at work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to them while I drive because I don't put the effort in to download them, put them on my device, and then play them in my car.
True.
I guess I just listen to them at home when I'm working on other stuff, I guess.
That makes sense. And then, that's another good point with podcasts is oftentimes they require that you stream them, and the ability to mobily stream them is still, I think, a little bit hampered for a lot of people. I mean, you can download SoundCloud, and I guess, you can stream it while you're in your car, but that requires, A, that you use up data, that you have a good signal.
Or you can download it from SoundCloud and then, like I said, go through all the hurdles to get it on your device and put it in your car, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, there's downsides to it.
It's a barrier to entry, I guess, for people. That alone makes podcasts more consumable sitting at a desktop or something with a dedicated internet access than your mobile device. But I mean, I know people that listen to podcasts while they work out and stuff though. So, you know, I may be wrong. The moral of the story is, I guess, don't start a podcast unless it's a subject you're passionate about. Don't worry about becoming popular because you probably won't. And if you do, it should be because, you're passionate about what you're talking about and you have a decent personality and more so than, I want to talk about something that's popular to get popular.
Yeah.
And 3, invest in a good mic.
4, invest your time in marketing your show.
Yeah. If you want to actually like get crazy. Decent amount of listeners.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, it's the same with YouTube people. They market themselves like crazy.
Yeah.
So that was kind of our 45 minutes of complaining about podcasting. we can call this episode State of the Podcast Union.
State of the Funk.
The state of the podcast is shit. We hope you, we've been doing this for 4 years. We hope to be doing it for 4 more, assuming we don't run out of ideas or kill ourselves. Both of which are likely realities.
Jesus.
For those of you listeners that haven't listened to us all that time, which is maybe like 1, we thank you. And
you one listener who's been listening the entire time. Thanks, Mom.
My mom thinks I'm special. Although I think she stopped listening too because she asked us to do like a episode on Prince and we unfortunately
we never did.
And she got mad. She's like,
"Oh really?"
She's like, "You always tell your listeners to give you feedback. Well, I gave you feedback and you didn't do anything."
That's sad.
We lost our one listener.
Jeez.
I mean, we can do a recap episode at the end of the year of all the artists that died since 2016 is like the year of death, but I think it's a little bit too late to do.
Is that going to be like our Christmas sign-off episode for 2016?
Yeah.
Here's all the people that died. Oh, jeez. Well, luckily, listeners, lately, if you have been listening over the past few weeks, you've known that we've had a little bit of trouble coming up with topics lately. While we were together last weekend, or I guess 2 weekends ago, we were able to come up with some cool ideas for new episodes that we have written down. So we're starting to come up with some better ideas again. So you can look forward to those.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, those of you that have been with us or even listened to any of our episodes that we've done over the 4 years, thanks for listening to us. Tell your friends. our 50th listener gets a free t-shirt.
To get 50 listeners total for the entire show, it'd still take us like 6 more years.
That's what I was going to say. Joke's on you. We only have 2 listeners.
Jeez. So if you want to tell us how much you love us, then go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/getyourfunk, and tell us there.
There's another lesson. Have a Facebook page for your podcast.
That's true. It's
a good way to aggregate your listeners because people will actually like your page.
We never really talked about social media, really.
Yeah, sorry.
But whatever.
Whoops.
That's another thing that takes a lot of time that we don't have time for.
Yeah, it's just a way to market yourselves. I mean, it's not super hard for us to have a Facebook page and just post the podcast up on there. So, you know, it's probably the least amount of social media work you can do is having a Facebook page.
Yeah. We don't have a Twitter, although if you are into Twitter, you should probably do that if you're having a podcast, because that would help. Yeah. Because a lot of people use Twitter. What do we have? I guess we sort of have soundcloud.com/getyourfunk, although we kind of shat on SoundCloud in this episode.
Sorry, SoundCloud, but fix your shit. same with YouTube, fix your shit.
Mixcloud.com/getyourfunk. We're not going to try to put it in more places because it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. So,
unless a new social media app comes out that's better than all of those. So.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll let you know. But you won't know because you won't listen. Bye.
Bye. God.